When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, what's going on, Giants and Jets fans? Welcome to the latest episode of our Giants and Jets Talk is Cheap podcast from NJ Advanced Media with Star Ledger, NJ.com. It's Tuesday evening right now, December the 5th. Daryl Slater here with you, Andy Vasquez, in a minute. And so we'll just a lot of QB stuff to talk about. We just spent, 10, 15 minutes going through all the drama before we got on this, and now we're gonna hopefully that warms us up a little bit for talking further about the quarterbacks goings on, soap opera, saga, you know, different level controversy or whatever for both teams. Obviously, we'll touch real quick on it and then dig deeper here. At the top, the Jets lost to the Falcons on Sunday. They're 4-8. They're 6th in the draft order. The Giants now 7th in the draft order. The Giants have fallen from 2nd to 7th with 2 wins and a bye. So that, as we all know, is going to affect their quarterback future plans potentially. The Jets now have lost 5 straight games since being gifted the win over the Giants. Their offense is a disaster. Lost a Sunday to the Falcons, of course. And then the day after the game yesterday, Monday, it comes out. Well, of course, they benched Tim Boyle for Trevor Siemian, who was unsurprisingly terrible, just as Boyle was unsurprisingly terrible, just as Zach Wilson has been unsurprisingly terrible. And so yesterday it comes out that the Athletic had a report that the Jets are inclined to turn back to Zach Wilson, but he's reluctant for some, I think, unknown reason, at least publicly unknown, to go back out there. Okay, yeah, that's kind of crazy, honestly. Obviously a really terrible look for Zach Wilson. Now, I will say Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers, who are word salad chefs, talked around this the last couple of days. They never denied it. They never denied the report. So like, let's remember that. And so we'll see who starts, whether it's Trevor Siemian or Zach Wilson. And then the Giants turfed Tim Boyle, bringing Brett Rypien, and so it's Siemian or Wilson. Andy, just give me your 30-second response to all this craziness, and then we'll touch on the Giants real quick.
I mean 30-second response. Okay, well, I mean, yeah, like you said, they didn't deny it, and then Saleh went as far to say, it's like, oh, Zach was in my office within the last hour talking about how he wants to play. Like, does that just happen? Like right after a report like that, does your quarterback who hasn't played in a month or that you benched 3 weeks ago, is he going to just walk in your office and be like, hey, just so you know, in case you were wondering after this report, I feel like playing. That's not true. So, I mean, and he wouldn't say when asked specifically if there was any point where Zach was reluctant to play. So, I mean, yes, you're right. I guess who cares at this point what kind of a look it is for Zach Wilson, because he's going to be gone. But sure, I guess it's a bad look. But also you kind of get it. I mean, they just basically were like, we're going to do everything. They spent months saying, we're going to do everything we can to help this kid and really get him the help he needs. And this is a perfect year for him to take off and not have to worry about it. But yet they put him in a position to be one snap away from playing behind the oldest quarterback in the NFL. And then it happened on the fourth play of the season. And it didn't change the fact we needed a redshirt year. They didn't go get him a viable backup. They didn't get him help. They put him out there. It went poorly, as there should be no surprise about that. And then when it became, you know, ideal for them to move on, and it was, it got so bad that even though it wasn't all his fault, he was the easiest person to blame and kind of take the heat off of the coaching staff for a while. They not only bench him, but they deactivate him and make him the third quarterback. So yeah, you also get it. You get why this kid would be Like, I don't need this
Yeah.
anymore. Like, make me play. Like, and he's gonna have to play because they guaranteed him 35 million. But I've been saying, look, whatever you want to say about Zach Wilson, I'm not gonna, you get it. It's over. It's like, so what, why not just kind of stick it to them a little bit? I will actually give him almost credit for that. But yeah, it's a mess. And then I know that wasn't 30 seconds, but
Oh,
I could keep
no.
going, but my
We'll
gosh,
get into
yes,
more of
it's a
this
mess.
in a minute. We'll get into more of this throughout the episode here and the Aaron Rodgers stuff. And my God, you talk about a phony of all phonies. It's not even phony. Like, phony is someone like who's it's transparent how much of a full of crap this guy is. Like, everyone knows it. There's been a million examples. But as far as the Giants go, and we'll get into more Giants here, obviously, but they won two straight games. They were on their bye week, and they're sticking with Tommy DeVito. Tyrod Taylor back from his four cracked ribs. He missed four games, and really tough dude. But the Giants are going with continuity over experience for now. I think you'd think there'd be a shorter leash, certainly on DeVito with Taylor as his backup, as opposed to Matt Barkley as the backup. Giants 4-8. They've beaten two very bad teams the last 2 weeks, and the Patriots and the Commanders. Let's just not be, we're not going to be the foofs here who are talking to Giants playoffs. Sorry, not happening. Go elsewhere for that. But Giants Monday night game didn't get flexed. Packers just beat the Chiefs. I could, totally see the Giants losing to that game or losing that game regardless of who their quarterback is. And then at the Saints, reasonably tough game against a not great Saints team that's 5-7 the next week. So they still have to play the Eagles twice. The Giants do. The Eagles, having lost to the Niners, probably will not be resting starters in Week 18. So let's just stop with the talk about the Giants in the playoffs. I mean, they're probably going to lose 10 games. That's not getting you 7-10 is not getting you in. So it's for the Giants at this point. It's about draft position. It's about taking a look at younger players. Jalin Hyatt had a big game last time out. And also, I think the quarterback decision here makes sense from a couple perspectives. Obviously, yes, okay, fine. Tommy DeVito earned it. All right, it's not like he's lit it up, but you want to say that? That's fine. He won a couple games, but also, and Brian Daboll's probably not looking at it from this macro view. You got to get a. I think it makes sense to get a look at him. Tyrod Taylor has no future with this team. Okay, I feel bad for him, and I understand why he was frustrated about not playing. And yes, Brian Daboll wants to win every game. Okay, that's true, and I believe it's true. Like. That's why I think they could circle back to Taylor at some point here if DeVito struggles. Short leash and all, blah, blah, blah. We just mentioned that. But DeVito, maybe could he be your backup next year? I don't know. I don't know. But at least take a look down the stretch here because Tyrod Taylor has no future with you, pending free agent, 35 years of age next year. So yeah, I think that it makes, I guess, some logical sense, but they have a decent backup option. Like, look, if Tommy DeVito goes out and poops a bed and is absolute disgrace. And they just put Tyrod Taylor in the game. It's not that hard. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. Maybe not this week against Packers, against a good Packer team that just, like I said, beat the Chiefs. So that's where the Giants are at as far as that goes. We don't need to get them in the minutia Darren Waller injury or whatever. I mean, let's be honest. Again, the season is still about the future. And it's about, the interesting little quarterback wrinkle here. But obviously the story of the NFL, the Jets and the quarterback drama, as always. Okay, we talked about Saleh's, or we talked about the Wilson part, right? For me, it's like, okay, I guess I would understand why he would say F you to the co, essentially F you to the coaches. But look, I mean, the guy is going to be a free agent. They're going to cut him, and he needs to put some good film out there if he wants to get a job somewhere else, right? So I don't, you'd think he'd be motivated to want to play well. We don't know the full context of how he kind of pushed back on wanting to play or to the extent that he did that. It is on the surface a bad look and a weird look for a guy who needs to put good film out there. But that doesn't, and you wrote a good post about this. None of this impacts a lot of the big picture issues surrounding the Jets because this guy is going to be gone. He's a goner. He's toast. They're putting him curbside, for goodness sake. So to me, there's a couple people that, okay, so we know Rodgers will be around next year, right? And I just Rodgers going on with propaganda Pat McAfee today. My goodness. I mean, and let's say it again. It should be written and said every time he goes on the show. It's a paid appearance. It is a paid appearance. It's not a journalistic interview. It's a paid appearance with a friend, two rich guys talking, one of whom pays the other to go on the show. The end. And yeah, he challenges Rodgers at times, but Rodgers went on there and just said some absolute nonsense today. Oh, it's cowardly. Okay, I'm sorry. No, that's not how it works, pal. And this guy, we know he runs his gums to everyone who listens to him, both on and off the record. We know it's true, and we know it's been true for years. So that what a disingenuous thing to say. Whatever. I guess he's trying to sort of stand up publicly for Zach Wilson. Again, Rodgers the quarterback next year. Yeah, they'll get a backup. Will Rodgers fix everything? Who knows? Then they have a lot of other issues to address. The big one now, and we talked about this before we got on, the big one now is Robert Saleh. This guy has not done squat. And if Rodgers was not his quarterback, he would be gone already. What's his record in December now, Andy?
1-12. December later, 1-12.
The Jets here, down the stretch, with zero good quarterback options. Zero. Zero. I don't care who their quarterback is. Okay? It doesn't matter. It's not going to be Rodgers. They play a good Texans team on Sunday. Then they go Dolphins, Commanders, Browns, Pats. They could beat the Commanders and the Pats. Maybe. They're not scoring touchdowns. Hard to win games. So say the Jets. What's it going to take for Saleh to not lose his job? They're 4-8. Give me a record it would take.
They got to win. They got to win a game.
One? Just one?
At this point, yes. I mean, the season, they've already gone so far down the, well, you know, this is none of this would have happened if Aaron Rodgers hadn't gotten hurt. So that's going to be basically, they're not going to exactly say that, but that's everything they've done screams that.
Yeah.
Until they got to last week and realized, oh my God, we might lose 10 straight games to end the season. And you can't do that. They were just shrug when you would ask them, why can't the offense score? Just shrug and smile, basically. That's what Nathaniel Hackett would do. So all of a sudden, he started actually giving kind of like answers, like, I got to be better. And I think it's because they're realizing, oh my God, we really might lose 10 games in a row after losing 6 games in a row. And somebody is going to get fired if that happens. So I don't think the bar is super high just because they are – The excuse factory is running strong right now. I mean, real, real strong at Fulham Park. And basically, if Aaron Rodgers was healthy, none of this would have happened. And that's where it's at. So I don't think – and I think the fans are resigned to it. I think, honestly, it will fly if they just win a game and they don't lose it. I mean, some fans are going to be mad, but, like, you're holding a carrot in front of Jets fans that have had nothing good happen to them in the last decade plus. And it's Aaron Rodgers, healthy. Let's see what happens. Yeah. You know, they're going to take it. And I honestly, I can't blame them. Because what else do you have to look forward to at this point, the way this has gone? So I don't think the bar is high, but I don't think it's easy to attain the way they've done it. And, you know, there's a lot of alarming stuff and just, you know, nonsense that's going around. And, you know, it's not even typical Jet stuff because this regime has been pretty good about keeping a lot of this stuff under wraps, but it's clearly gotten away from them here. And that's what's going to be interesting is how ugly is this going to get? How weird is it going to get? And that's really kind of what I was writing today is like, okay, Zach Wilson, whatever. What's really more important is like, how do the guys who are key players next year feel? How are they feeling about another wasted year? What are they going to come out of this feeling and doing? Are they going to be traumatized by it and not the same players offensively? Because, you know, you've seen that happen to guys that just haven't been able to recover from losing for the first time in their lives. Or is it going to kind of steal their resolve like a lot of the Jets players who've struggled their first year on defense ended up coming through that stronger and better for the experience? So I think – you know, if Robert Saleh has a strength, it is, you know, keeping his guys believing in the fact that they can reach their potential. But it's now it's getting, you know, weird and the distractions are flying. And I mean, if you were a player in that locker room, especially on the defense and even on the offense, like it's not like the offense doesn't have weapons. I mean, at this point, how are you not fed up with the team for putting you in this position that really you shouldn't have been put in? Aaron Rodgers or not, they basically added Aaron Rodgers, some of his guys. They should not be this much worse than they were last year, and they are so much worse. So It's just a botched job all around, and you're messing with opportunities for guys late in their career, like CJ Mosley, and guys early in their career, who are able to play together because of the contracts, like Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner. Those windows are not wide. Like, you're going to get next year, maybe the year after that, before you have to give them extensions, and they've just completely, squandered this opportunity. And these guys in the locker room aren't dumb, so. Yeah, it's just going to be really interesting to me to see if something comes of this in these last 5 weeks, which can be really frustrating, and if it becomes obvious that there is going to have to be some sort of change, even though these guys were basically handed the opportunity at a free pass on a platter and have not been able to take it because they've just been such a mess.
Couple things usually cost a coach's job. Losing the locker room, and you kind of touched on a little bit of how that maybe kind of could happen here. We'll see with some of this nonsense and drama. And a coach making an utter fool of himself publicly. Joe Judge did it. He probably would have stayed if he hadn't done that, if he hadn't just kept talking and talking and talking. And so I will say, as frustrating as it is to cover Brian Daboll, who, grunts his way through these press conferences, and he doesn't give you really anything there, but he's also not gonna, the word hang themselves on their words. It's kind of not a good metaphor to use, but he's not gonna let his words doom him, I guess would be the better way to tactful way to say that. But and Robert Saleh, he's a good talker. Guy likes to talk.
Oh, yeah.
He's a politician. He's an operator. Look, let's be honest. I mean, he's an orator. That's his that's helps him motivate. That's a good thing, right? You know what's probably not a good thing? Texting with a guy who is Joe Beningo, who is unhinged. But look, I like Joe. He's a nice guy. I have
You've met him, you've
yeah,
ridden
I've hung out
story,
with him.
you've watched a Jets game with him. Yeah, I wrote
I
about
think
it.
Joe would even tell you he's unhinged, right? So and he's not
He
a
basically did today when he apologized, right?
Member. I
Yeah.
didn't see the apology. I
He
just,
just went, bro, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Yeah.
yeah, he's a Jet fan who happened to, for a very long time, had a nice career at WFAN and really doesn't work in the media much anymore. It's not like he's beholden to some journalistic code. And he basically shared, not actual screenshots of text, but paraphrasing text where Robert Saleh is basically telling him, that Zach Wilson stinks. Look, we all know he stinks. Okay. But like it's, and yes, coaches
I will
off.
say, I'm just going to stop because the explanation was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Because he basically his thing was he texted Saleh like that he needs to go back to Zach Wilson. Saleh texted him, "Are you kidding me?" That's what he said yesterday. That turned into a big thing,
Okay.
and then he explained it today. Well, he and Joe thought that meant that Saleh didn't like Zach Wilson, and then he explained it today was like he had been hammering away for weeks. Just sending Saleh like 4-part
Oh.
texts about how he needed to
Okay.
bench Zach Wilson. And then that's what Saleh texted him when he said he needed to bring back Zach Wilson.
Nice.
And that's the excuse or whatever you want to put it. But
Yeah,
I
or
mean, it's
the,
fun, it's entertaining. And
yeah,
you can see that
exactly.
happening. But the larger point that you're trying to make, I think I'll just let you get to it, is that how are you putting yourself in this position, right?
It's circus stuff. It's circus stuff, just like it was last year when he talked about cramming receipts down throats. And let's this coach went
Week
four.
two. Yeah.
This coach went 4-13, 4-13 in his first year. Okay, then they come out, they struggle early, 1-2, receipts down the throat. I forget exactly when he made the
It was
comment.
0-1. They lost
My
to the
God.
Ravens, and it was 0-1. And before they played the Browns, lost. And the only thing that saved them that next week against the Browns was they had an all-time comeback down by 13 with less than 2 minutes left, no
Right. So
timeouts, and they
he
won.
makes the comments. They rally from 0-1 to 6-3. They close 7-10. All right. And you mentioned the December record. And this year, of course, after the gifted win from the Giants, they've lost 5 straight games and counting. 4-3 has become 4-8 and counting. Like you said, it could really snowball here. Is it going to be 10 straight loss? How many? Six straight this week? Then seven, probably against the Dolphins. Then they get a chance to win against the Commanders. Maybe, possibly. So, like to me, there has to be, and then the Saleh part of the other part of the Saleh thing is if you're looking at him in a vacuum with the record and the way he comports himself, which it's some good, it's more of the circus stuff in some ways that the Jets have really, in some ways, have moved on from. But you see it popping up, obviously. And when it does, it's these big things like the receipt comment or what the report about Zach Wilson being reluctant to play. And so, yeah, I just and you know, come on with the Texans. Okay, so I'll give him maybe a pass on the Joe B thing, but
Either way, the overall point, it's an
he can get.
all-time silly story that a coach, a public figure shouldn't put himself in a position to be in.
Yeah, he's got to be smarter, and I think, you know, coaches obviously do talk candidly about players to reporters off the record, but you got to understand, like, you know, should he even be he should block Joe's number. Like, what are we doing here? Talking too much to too many people. That's certainly part of it. So all on the merits alone and the record alone, this guy would, he's 15 and 30. He's 15 and 31. He'd be gone. Right. But here's the domino effect. Everything's tied to the quarterback that they handed the keys of the franchise over. You got, first of all, you got to stop listening to Rodgers next year, but they gave this guy decision-making power essentially. And so it's a domino effect. So if you fire Saleh, the only way, and I kind of am stealing your point that you brought up before the call, but like
Oh,
the
it's
only
fine.
way to keep Rodgers in the fold and keep him happy and keep his caddy, Nathaniel Hackett, around next year, is right. Maybe you elevate Jeff Ulbrich, the really good defensive coordinator who could have some looks elsewhere, to head coach. And then you roll with Hackett as your OC, basically telling Ulbrich, like, all right, you're the head coach, but you got to keep Rodgers' caddy as the OC. So, right. Would you agree? I mean, you would agree because
Yeah,
that's what apparent it
there's
was your
a. I
fourth
mean,
play
I
call.
even wrote it. I wrote it last Friday when you started to see where this thing could spiral and what some of the, scenarios were. But yeah, that's how it would, you it would happen. And that, there's no guarantee Jeff Ulbrich agrees to that. And I'm, it's complete speculation on my part, but sometimes that's my job, and I have a
Course.
pretty knowledgeable understanding of
Sounds like you're
how
saying they're going to
the
bring that
franchise
coach on.
works. Oh, yeah.
Not
Yeah,
you.
I mean, I've been saying there's a way out that could work, but it would require a lot of things that I'm not 100% sure. Jeff Ulbrich may not think that's a good idea, or maybe loyal enough to Saleh that he doesn't do that, and I can't tell you. So
Maybe. A lot
there,
of money.
there's more, yeah, there's more factors, that is a way it could work. I mean, and there's, Rodgers could decide that he's no longer, as keen on Robert Saleh at some point here as well. I mean, there's a number of ways which would open up, possibilities, but then it becomes hard to conduct a coaching search when, Nathaniel Hackett has to be part of the deal. So there's just a lot of,
Yeah.
I still think it's gonna, they're gonna run it back another year the way it is. I think they'll find a way to win a game. And it definitely, in a way that hurts their draft position in the most painful possible way. But yeah, it's not, unless something happens that kind of forces the hand, like you said, a Joe Judge type thing, which is not out of the question or whatever at this point. I mean, it's gotten weird. It's gotten really weird to the point where it's not like you're just waiting for the next thing to happen
Yep.
almost at this point. Like, what is it going to be? What, like, how do you can't really even keep up. I mean, if I was trying to make a list of all the crazy things that have happened this season, it would be hard to know where to start. And honestly, if I was to make a list of all the crazy things that have happened in the last 2 weeks, it would be hard to know where to start, including sitting in a room with Aaron Rodgers and listening to him say, "What's the worst that happens if I tear my Achilles
Gosh,
at
yeah,
age
that's right.
40 a second time in 3 months? I'll just slow down my rehab, come back in 6 months again, and be ready for training camp like nothing ever happened." So
I will say,
there's a lot going on.
covering people who are kind of crazy is kind, it can be annoying at times, but it's also fun. Like, so I think everyone would agree that Saleh and Aaron Rodgers are kind of crazy.
They're unconventional. Yeah, they're anomalies.
And so they're wacky. I wouldn't say they're left of center. I wouldn't
They're
say,
interesting. Yeah.
yeah.
I
But
have.
so the Aaron Rodgers is about Aaron Rodgers. Okay. Like,
Yeah, exactly.
like a lot of successful
By the
people.
way, both of these guys, that's an accurate statement. But let's just, if you're ever trying to figure out the motivations here, start there. Both of these
Self-preservation.
guys are yes.
And but
And
look.
just one thing on that point. I just one thing I want to say about Salah, and I don't know if I've ever really said this publicly, but I found it interesting, and I don't think there's nothing out of bounds about it. Before the fourth game of his career as the Jets head coach, it was either the fourth, I'm pretty sure it was the fourth game, they were playing the Titans, and Salah was asked like why the Titans, why he liked them. And he said, like, well, you know, they've had the chance to build it together for like several years of continuity or whatever, like whatever. But he was like already before he even had his first win, he was like sending messages through the media to ownership, like that you have to be patient. And if you, that kind of explains his whole regime and what it's been about.
Yeah, and this ownership and Woody Johnson, and say this ownership, right? It's Woody Johnson. You know, he pays attention to the media. He's very sensitive to the way the team is portrayed. You talk about certain owners who, most owners, fannies in seats is a big thing, big indicator for, whether you fire a coach, whatever. But like Woody Johnson is particularly sensitive to the way the team is portrayed in the media, which has often led to some dumb knee-jerk things that he's done. Yeah, and that's now you see a coach who's trying to do what he thinks is going to keep this kind of loony owner in some ways, or have, he's done some loony things, let's be honest. And so Woody Johnson has, not always, but I'm but trying to keep this guy happy. And so then sending these messages, certainly one way to do that, and or at least so he thinks. But like, look, these two guys are about themselves and they're about self-preservation, right? With Salah, obviously doesn't have nearly the track record of Rodgers, right? So at least with Rodgers, you can say, okay, the guy's a complete egomaniac, but you know what? So are a lot of really successful people. So was Steve Jobs, right? I mean, he was a raging maniac and impossible to work for,
Michael
right?
Jordan.
Oh, Michael Jordan was what a horrible human being. Like, now he wasn't a good player because he was a horrible human being, but the relentless competitiveness, the selfishness, sometimes that manifests itself in success. Now, like, we're not saying Salah's like Michael Jordan in terms of being as awful as Michael Jordan is as a human being, but
Or Rodgers. Yeah. No, I'm just saying that, like, there's plenty of examples of guys who lose touch with the human their humanity because
in reality.
their gift becomes the most important. They're, you know, maximizing their gift becomes the most important thing and
And
the
it's
only
chicken
thing
and
that
egg
matters in
stuff.
their lives. Yeah.
Really
Yeah.
highly motivated people. I'm gonna set aside Sal, right? Because he hasn't really
Yeah, we're not
accomplished.
talking about him anymore. I just wanted to point that you said the self-preservation thing, and I just wanted to make sure that people understood
Yeah,
that part of it.
Rodgers, like, that a lot of this motivation stuff has fueled him. So he says these wacky things like, what does it matter if I tear it again? Because he, but I will give him credit. I mean, he worked hard and tried to
It's
rehab.
remarkable, yeah.
No one says tried to rehab. It's going to be a moot point here because they're 4-8 and they're not going to make the playoffs, right? They're not going to win every game the rest of the way, which is
Even if
even if
they did,
they
they
may not
probably
make the
wouldn't make
playoffs,
it.
but they're not doing
Yeah.
it. Okay, they're gonna probably lose their next two games, or even when they go 8-9. So they're missing the playoffs. Duh. Rodgers is not playing this year. Duh. Okay, fine. But look, maybe he'll pull the Uncle Rico thing. It's like, oh, I could have thrown the ball over the mountain. Like I could have come back and played. It would happen. I would have been ready. And so whatever. It's about next
I will
year.
say I wouldn't rule any like we've reached the point of
Yeah.
zaniness and wackiness where I agree with you that I think it's highly unlikely and I don't think he'll play, but you can't even rule that out at this point. Like
No.
honestly, like it would make no sense. And that's why you got to be like, well, it could happen. I don't
Yeah.
think it will, to be
Bottom
clear,
line,
but
we've said it for.
I'm not prepared to be like that won't happen now.
Yeah, we said it from day one with Rodgers. I wrote it from day one. If this team doesn't make the Super Bowl with Rodgers, the trade's a failure. Okay, so go. Enough with the conversation about the freaking Achilles. Enough. Okay, so let's get us to January, get us to the offseason. Stop listening to this guy. Start building, figure out who your coaching staff's going to be. Start building an offensive line to protect a core, aging quarterback coming off the torn Achilles. Let's see how Rodgers does. Let's the receiving group needs to be addressed, because quite frankly it's a disaster outside of Garrett Wilson. And so then let's move forward, and they have what, one or two, maybe just one year to go extremely deep in the playoffs. If they don't make a Super Bowl, the trade's a failure. Okay, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to buy that Rodgers missing one year and then they make the AFC Championship game. And maybe he runs it back for another year after that. But they have to accomplish something to me, that's outside the realm of what they've done in recent past to make this a success. So, like, let's okay, enough with the talking about the ACL or the Achilles and all of his whatever he is nonsense he was spewing in that press conference. Look, I appreciate the guy. I'm never gonna tell a guy to not talk. It's like fine, you want to dig your own grave by saying stuff, great. but you want honesty. We always want honesty. And I guess he believes the things he says, fine, but like ultimately it's just so hollow at this point. Like we need some action from this guy. Now, I'm not saying like, look, get out there and play now. It's not at all, right? Wouldn't be smart. But
No, absolutely
when
not.
next September rolls around, let's see what you're made of, Rodgers, right? I mean, like let's we you know, so I don't
Yeah,
know.
and let's not forget the Jets. Like, I'm hard on the Jets. The fans are hard on the Jets. They deserve most of it, almost all of it. But this was, let's remember, this was extremely unfortunate, and like worst case scenario. And it stinks that the year turned into what it did when, there was so much excitement and. You got to feel for them, and you almost got to give them, okay, like understand why it was maybe a struggle to adjust that. But the funny part is, like they did okay during that shock period. It's now that they've moved past that where they've kind of failed. So it just speaks to a lot, in terms of that's going on with this franchise with bad luck, and that is bad luck, and that's a really unfortunate, kind of Charlie Brown. Pulling the football away type of moment for Jets fans, and I feel for them, and I feel for honestly like all of the NFL in terms of what that story would have been like, and I'm not saying they would have been like great. I think if anything, this year has proven that the offense, even with Aaron Rodgers, needs more. It was going to have some issues, but I just think it would have been a much more interesting, more fun story. To see Jets fans, able to actually have something to brag about since they enjoy and the Jets as a team enjoy, bragging about anything. It would have been cool for the Jets to be relevant, for them to be good, for being good at football. And I thought there was a good chance of that happening, and then it lasted four plays. So I mean, I do have sympathy for that situation, but it doesn't excuse this. Like I said before, there's no reason to be significantly worse than you were last year.
Yeah, and that to me, 5 games to go: Houston, Miami, Washington, Cleveland, New England. Okay, 2 games that are pretty winnable in there. The Jets, they cannot get embarrassed. We don't need to go through all the offensive numbers. Their offense has been terrible. We all know it, and they've been terrible for a long time here, long stretch, including the entirety of this 5-game losing streak. They lost by, but they can't get blown out. I mean, they have 4-point loss in Vegas. The offense did nothing, and a 5-point loss last week. Offense did nothing again against Atlanta, but they didn't get blown out. They were in the game. But in 3 of these losses, they've been blown out: 27-6 to the Chargers, 32-6 to the Bills, 34-13 to the Dolphins. If they go out on these next 2 games and get completely waxed, and then if they do it again on Christmas Eve against the Commanders, who are atrocious and who are gonna toe tag Ron Rivera here coming up. And so, and by the way, the Commanders this year have lost to Tyrod Taylor and Tommy DeVito. Amazing. And so they're done, they're done, obviously, and Rivera's done. And so if they get blown, you got to figure they're probably getting blown out in Miami. But that Washington game to me looms large as a potential embarrassing home game Christmas Eve. Maybe the paper bags over the heads or a lot of empty seats and all that. Right? They can't get embarrassed because of
Yeah.
the optics and everything. They got to at least be competitive and right.
This game is dangerous on Sunday because, I mean, it's just like poetic justice in terms of you have your number two overall pick from 2021
Yeah.
and all of this controversy surrounding him. And then here comes, the number two pick overall this year in Stroud. And I don't have, I got to find the exact numbers. I think. He's at 20 touchdowns now for the season, but I'm gonna look that up. But the fact that this is what it looks like when you get the number two pick right. And
20 touchdowns,
the
5
Texans,
picks.
20 touchdowns. So Zach Wilson has 21 career touchdowns in 32 starts now.
That's amazing. This
32 games. That 32,
20.
32, 31 starts, 32 games. His 21 touchdowns. More interceptions than that. I don't know off the top of my head. But I'm just talking about running touchdowns. I mean, I'm sorry, passing touchdowns, not running touchdowns. But those are Stroud's passing touchdowns, 20 this year. That's what it looks like. So, and I'm sure he's gonna like the Jets defense is good. They maybe they force him into some looks he hasn't seen, mistakes. He could have a bad game. It doesn't change the fact that he's already better than Zach Wilson ever was for the Jets. But it will be especially embarrassing if he lights up the Jets. That's a dangerous one for them. And it can, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it as, man, what a disaster for the Jets. Or like the Texans were like a disaster of the order of magnitude the Jets are right now,
Yeah. I
two years ago with their whole situation. And
mean,
I don't even remember what the
last
guy's
year,
name. Yeah, I can't remember
yeah,
the
Lovie
guy.
Smith, they were 3-13-1 last year, right? Lovie
Yeah,
Smith,
or
they were 1-12-1. Then Lovie Smith wins two of his final three, including the game in Indy. And everyone's like, oh, he screwed the Texans. They're not going to get the number one pick, right? And then as it turns out, well, CJ Stroud might just be a whole lot better than Bryce Young. So now maybe they would have taken Stroud at one, right? So this is a Texans team, 3-13-1 last year, 4-13 the year before, 4-12 the
yeah.
year before that.
Well,
So
they were of a punchline. I can't remember the guy's name
David
who.
Culley, yeah.
Yeah, no, or the executive who clearly like seemed to have something
Oh,
on the owner, because
yeah,
he
Jack
wouldn't
Easterby.
fire him.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah,
Jack
I'm sorry, I
Easterby,
couldn't remember
the
his name,
former
but
snake oil salesman
yeah,
preacher, yeah.
it was wild. They were a hot mess, and now look at them. So like you can also look at it that way, that like all it takes is getting that right once. And maybe the Jets version of
Right.
getting that right is Aaron Rodgers playing well next year. And maybe it does make that big of a difference, because certainly if it's his offense, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he can. I mean, I think their offensive line, the concerns about their offensive line are a bit more overblown than they actually are. The offensive line can be a lot better than people think next year. And then you get him another weapon, and maybe he really can, you know. He's already shown you what he can do with Hackett calling plays. It's obviously, you know, him making the calls of the line of scrimmage. So, like, maybe that can be the difference. Or maybe they finally get lucky out of this whole situation and end up with the right quarterback. It can happen. It will happen at some point. I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime, but it will happen. I mean, these we've seen the Cubs win a World Series. We've seen the Red Sox win multiple. These things don't go on forever. So at some point, you know, it will happen. I just don't know. I can't tell you if you're 50 years into a Super Bowl drought, 55 years into a 100-year Super Bowl drought, or 55 years into a 61-year Super Bowl drought. And that's the big question. It will end at some point, and it will go right. But yeah, it is not this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so Stroud this year, 12 games, 20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 101.2 quarterback rating, 7-5 record. Zach Wilson, 31 starts, 32 games, 11-20 record, 21 touchdowns. These are just passing, 25 picks and a 71.9 rating. Oh, like, you know, look, you only need your eyeballs and not me to tell you that CJ Stroud is good and Zach Wilson's terrible. But yeah, look, it's about getting the quarterback. And so whether that's Rodgers or Stroud, and now as we pivot a little bit here to the Giants, certainly Caleb Williams, Drake May, no one's saying necessarily that both those guys are going to be Hall of Famers, but the Giants now out of the mix for both those guys. The problem here for the Giants at 7 in the draft order is Joe Shane will have a decision to make here about, you know, what does he do? Does he take Bo Nix or Jaden Daniels or Michael Penix there? Or does he wait until the second round to take a guy? Or does he use the extra second round pick as ammo to move up into the bottom of the first round to get a quarterback who fell? Or does he just run it back with Daniel Jones in a low profile backup in 2025? So, yeah, I mean, forget all the stuff that Shane said about running, you know, Jones the starter. It's semantics, okay? So right now, Carolina's lost five straight games. New England's lost five straight games. Arizona won a game last week, so they're 3-10 now. So, but the top three in the draft looks largely out of reach. Maybe Arizona wins some more, but the Giants still have to jump. So the draft order right now is Bears from Panthers at one, and number two is the Patriots. Number three is the Cardinals. Number four is Washington at 4-9. Then Chicago at 4-8 is five. The Jets have passed the Giants based on strength of schedule at six. Strength of schedule is a number one tiebreaker. It's not head to head. And the Jets are sixth, the Giants seventh, but the Titans are closing. They're 4-8. They're eighth in the draft order now. And then you have four teams: Saints, Bucks, Raiders, Chargers at 5-7, the Bengals at 13 at 5-6. So if the Giants keep winning, they're going to keep falling here. And the more they fall, the less likely it is that they're going to get, say, one of that second tier, like, you know, maybe Bo Nix would be gone, or Jaden Daniels are gone, is gone, or, you know, Penix. So we'll see how Joe Shane slots these guys and how the NFL assesses all those guys who are not Caleb Williams or Drake May. But yeah, like, so it's about getting the quarterback, and at what point are the Giants going to get that quarterback? Look, I think it's ultimately probably a long shot that Daniel Jones is that guy going into year six, coming off the torn ACL, inconsistency, durability issues. I wrote something for tomorrow, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, because there's a bit of a Jet parallel. So say
That
they
can't be
draft,
good.
yeah,
Sorry.
say they draft a quarterback high next year, and I'm talking about premium pick, right? Second round's a premium pick, okay? If you pick a quarterback in the second round, he's expected to be your starter at some point. So if they use a premium pick, top two rounds on a quarterback, and maybe that guy plays a little bit next year, maybe he doesn't. And if Jones stinks, he's definitely going to play next year, this quarterback, right? Even if the kid doesn't start in week one, to me, does that cool, maybe that cools down Brian Daboll's hot seat a bit. Like, so maybe they struggle next year while playing the new kid a bunch, right? But remember one thing John Mara said at the introductory press conference for Brian Daboll, like, oh, we screwed this kid up. And then he was talking about Daniel Jones by all the coaching changes they had. So would they pull the plug on the coaching staff for a high draft pick quarterback with an offensive-minded head coach, by the way, after the first year? I don't know. Dable's under contract through 2026. Maybe they let him play it out through 2025 and see how it goes. No more buyout for Joe Judge after next year. I don't, you know, Dable's back, coming back next year. He's going to maybe fire all three of his coordinators, which is what a hot seat coach typically does. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether they would just do the same thing again, because Jones's coach, Pat Shurmur, got fired after his first year, and they got into this cycle of changes for the play with play callers and coaches. So the one parallel, and you'll remember it, Todd Bowles, 2018, Sam Darnold's first year, drafting a quarterback number three didn't spare him. But I think, I mean, to me, Bowles is a defensive guy, right? And so that was year four for Bowles. I think Dable's more likely to be spared.
Yeah, I think it actually gives him more than 1 year if they do that. And I think it, well, I think it should, because if you look at it, this guy has something that really nobody else has. He developed Zach, or I'm sorry, he developed Josh Allen. He
Yeah,
developed
a project.
him, and he hasn't been, Josh Allen hasn't been as good since he left. And he wasn't as good before, he was able to kind of put his stamp on him. So he has the track record of having done it. And then, the smart thing to do, depending on his health, would be to start, Daniel Jones next year, let the kid learn. And then if Daniel Jones plays great, let the kid learn a second year, right? Like, it actually would take a lot of the pressure off whoever they draft, and I feel like the coaching staff, because it's hard to see, like, they can actually make the decision that's best for the team, unless it turns into a total disaster, right? Like, that, barring that, that's how you get fired in that situation. But they could, instead of, making the cover your ass decision, you make the decisions that are best for the team and who should be starting, best for the kid who should be starting. If Jones plays terribly, you get the kid in there.
Yeah. I
So
think
I think there's a, yeah. And it also gives Daniel Jones probably his fairest chance to actually succeed as well. And even if Jones plays great and you believe in the kid, then you got trade value for Jones at some point down the line. So yeah, I think that's the smart way to handle it. And that's why you hire a guy like Dable if you ever get in that situation, because he has that track record and confidence. Like, nobody can blame ownership for sticking with him if it goes wrong. Like, were there some ugly moments this year for the Giants? Yes, but like, had it ever really spiraled? It looked like it might, but it didn't, right?
I think ultimately too, yeah, like it, they draft a quarterback. It does buy Dable time. I think even especially if there's like a sliver of a hope that the kid is good. The big thing will be if this premium pick plays, doesn't start the year, but winds up coming in for whatever reason, plays, maybe he struggles, but he shows some promise. But if he doesn't get a full sample size, that'll help bring him back. If they don't do that, but then if they don't do that, let's say they run it back with Daniel Jones. Let's say they keep winning and they run it back, right? And it's like, wow, Dable, finished the year. They went 6-, they good job. They went 6-11 with a really crummy quarterback situation.
After a terrible story, yeah.
Right. Okay. But guess what? They're kind of like, I think the extra second round pick maybe will render some of that moot. Because they could may still get a quarterback maybe there. But
Trade
say
up
they
with the Jets.
say for whatever reason they run it back with Jones and a low profile backup and they're terrible, right? Next year. Then I think it's certainly likely that he's gone because they could just fire him, pick a quarterback high and put a new offensive minded coach in to work with that quarterback as a fresh start in 2025. And again, remember the buyout for Joe Judge ends after 2024. The Giants would be paying two coaches, not three, in 2025. If hypothetically they fired Dable after this year, they'd be paying three coaches again next year, which is what they did last year. So, look, that's a consideration. It's not the biggest, but yeah, no, I think it's something to consider. I wrote a post on that for tomorrow. I think everyone's getting a little bit lost in this Tommy DeVito, Tyrod Taylor thing. And by the way, I should note here, it's really we're late in the podcast, but Andy, I was covered the Jets today on his or covered the Giants rather today on his Jets off day. He was a great job as always as being like an awesome team player for us. I was tied up with some other stuff and couldn't get out there. And the Giants had availability today coming off the bye week on a Tuesday, which is atypical with the Monday night game coming up. So I appreciate Andy doing that. And he was there to listen to Tyrod Taylor talk about some of his frustrations and to listen to Tommy DeVito talk about some of his aspirations as he keeps a starting job. But ultimately, what are we doing here? They're 4-8. No offense to either of these guys, but they don't matter. Okay. I know they're like everyone's the problem here, I think, with some of the way this Giants season here in December the 5th is being documented is this is like people have these narrow view and these blinders on that they're just looking at the very thing in front of them and acting like it's meaningful. Like, and I get that it is in some degree, and certainly is for the players who are trying to put film up, but this is about the rest of the season about the future, like the draft and all that is what ultimately, like, let's be honest, matters in the off season. So, yeah, I mean, does it really matter who's the quarterback for the Giants the rest of the way? I guess, for some people it does. But I definitely appreciate Andy. Thanks, man, for going out and doing that.
Oh, no worries. It was interesting to see just, first of all, a locker room with people in it because the way the Jets' availabilities are these days, it's not usually a lot of guys in there. So that was a very lively locker room. I did see dear Tommy DeVito's locker some fresh perishable goods in a large box. So he's living well. It's not bad to be a Jersey kid who's I don't know exactly what was in there, but I'm sure it seemed like he's been getting some food gifts from local businesses, and that must not suck, as I will say. And he seems like a nice kid. He tried to be taking it all in stride. I'm sure it's the whole thing is crazy. And yeah, you feel for Tyrod, 35 years old, doing everything he can to get back from the ribs and making that known exactly what he went through, which I think there was a point to that too. But you feel for him. But yeah, like you said, like, from an external perspective, neither one of those guys are the long-term answer. Maybe DeVito can shock the world, but yeah, I haven't watched closely enough. Obviously, the game I watched, I didn't get to see him throw the ball.
It would be
That's all I could
interesting
say.
if they won on Monday. Yeah, right. On Monday night, if they won, if maybe the Packers a good pack, pretty good Packer team on Monday night. I mean, the Patriots are a disaster. The Commanders are a disaster. Okay, and Tommy DeVito wasn't even the reason they won either of those games. I mean, he played pretty well in Washington. He did. He did. Last week against the last game against the Patriots, the defense won him that game. And the defense played pretty darn well against Washington too. So, which is why Wink Martindale was never getting fired during the bye week, but the optics of that would have been horrible for Brian Daboll. I think he's gone after the season, but so yeah, no, I think the DeVito thing's a nice story. It's a cool story. It is. But let's remember the big picture here. Like when you're 4-8, and you're potentially going to draft a quarterback, the big picture matters more than a story that is going to be likely be forgotten. I mean, it's not like he's gone come in and completely lit it up. He had like been when lighting up the NFL, be like, wow, what then the world? Like he didn't really do much of anything last week in the game. Okay, the offense did not do much of anything, and it hadn't done much of anything with Tyrod Taylor either. I mean, DeVito one touchdown, 191 yards, 103.9 quarterback rating. I mean, that's pretty good. But I think the coaching staff deserves some credit for, you know, after DeVito looked pretty inept in Dallas for like finding a way even against bad teams. For making this to help make this kid look competent, and we'll see how it goes against the Packers. But anyway, we'll close it up with picks. What do you got for your what do you got for Jets Texans?
Yeah, it's one of those games where I feel like I'm like certain the Jets will lose, which usually is when I get into trouble. Even more certain than I've been lately. So I'm going to pick the Jets to win based on that, because whenever I want to pick them to lose by double digits is when they win. I will pick Jets. The funniest thing that could happen at this point would be for Zach Wilson to play great. That would be funny. Jets 24, Texans 21.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I'm with you, but
remember,
hey, my score last week wasn't that far off.
so this Texans team, defensively 18th in PFF, offensively they're ninth, right? So a pretty decent challenge for the really good Jet defense. This Jet defense is playing great. I mean, give them a lot of credit. Fifth in PFF right now. So I know it's hard for people to appreciate that when the season's gone the way it has, but the Texans won last week. They lost to the Jaguars a week prior. They won three straight coming before that. They're a good team, not a great team. The Jets are going to, I think the Jets will lose. I don't know, 14 to 10. Let's call it 17-13. How about that? Give Zach Wilson a little bit of credit there. If I think he starts. Do you think he starts?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I honestly, just because he strangely enough gives them the best chance to win, and they need to win badly.
Yep. As for the Giant game Monday, I'll start with this one. Just off the top of my head, again, I think their offense is just so limited right now, just like the Jets. Not as bad as the Jets, but this Packer team has done some good things. 14th in PFF, they're 6-6 overall in defense. 14th, they're 13th in offense. So just right there in the middle of the league. And Jordan Love is there, you know, was kind of trying to find his way here, and they did just beat the Chiefs, so they're not a total pushover team. I don't think the Giants win this game. I mean, look, they needed like almost a miracle at the end. I mean, a missed field goal to beat the Patriots, who are horrendous, and they won the game 10-7. Like, let's not lose sight of that. I mean, you talk about what Love did. They scored 27 points, the Packers, against the Chiefs, and Love in that game goes 25 of 36, 267, three touchdowns, and he had 118.6 quarterback rating. Pretty darn good against the Chiefs. And so Aaron Rodgers' replacement, I think, comes into Aaron Rodgers' new home and leads the Packers to, let's say, 21 to, I'm going to call it 7. I just don't think the Giants can move the ball. So what do you got for that one?
Yeah, Packers four straight wins after starting 2-5, scored 20 or more in all of them. They're basically left for dead. People were writing off Jordan Love. I think
Three straight
he
wins.
is, yeah. Three straight? I thought it was I think it's
Chargers, Lions,
four. One. Oh yeah, they lost to the Steelers. Sorry. So 4 out of 5, my bad.
Yep, we ran 4-5 since
Four out of
starting
five after
the year.
starting 2-5. That's I lost one there, the Steelers game. But anyway, my point is, Jordan Love is actually probably, or it certainly seems like he might be okay, pretty good. So I like the Giants to not win, like you said. I don't know why I can't talk, but I'm going to pick the Packers 27, Giants 17.
There you have it. So appreciate everybody listening. Thanks for reading our stuff, nj.com/giants, nj.com/jets. Be sure to like, rate, review, subscribe, all your favorite podcasting platforms and all that good stuff. We appreciate all you guys as always reading, listening, and sending us emails and tweets and all that. Next week, obviously, I think we'll be back here same time-ish Tuesday evening next week with to digest the Jets game on Sunday, the Giants game on Monday. They wound up not being flexed, and so they're in their original time slots. And so, everyone have a great rest of your week and enjoy the games on Sunday. And maybe someone's going to both of those games. I don't know, but if you enjoy going to both, enjoy both back-to-back games at MetLife Stadium Sunday and Monday, Sunday afternoon, and then Monday night. And we will be back with you guys next week. And everyone, take care.